Our next speaker is Dan Deal. He is the CEO of AirQuity. Dan, can you tell us a little bit about the fresh air in the office?
Yes. Hi. Thanks for having me, Larry. And last week I heard you were a Penn grad, so you'll be happy to know that they are a thought-leading implementer of today's topic.
Love it.
Last week's program left off discussing the importance of air, and so today, more precisely focusing on healthy air and our ability to get back to work, to school, to the gathering places like arenas and museums safely. And I know we're all wondering when this is going to occur. And I think the answer lies largely in the ability of building owners and operators to provide healthy and safe environments. Dr. Joseph Allen of the Harvard Chan School of Public Health recently put it, your building manager has more impact on your health than your doctor. So air quality is now a strategic imperative, not an operational one. There are three fundamental issues that need to be improved: effective ventilation, air filtration, and the control of humidity. Today, the airborne spread of the novel coronavirus in buildings requires a reexamination of how we manage indoor environmental quality for all buildings, and not just labs and operating rooms. It's what we refer to in the industry as critical environments. Over the last several weeks, we've seen and heard a lot about how the virus can be spread more easily than previous ones via micro droplets that can linger in poorly ventilated spaces, often attached to small particles. So the key to reopening offices, schools, and gathering facilities all around the world will be to provide cleaner air while also reassuring people that the air they breathe is healthy. We realize that better air is not the only strategy, and that occupant densities in buildings will likely change. Surface cleanings will become more frequent and pervasive. But as we are all experiencing, air is playing the major role in the spread of this and likely future viruses. There is, however, great news, and I know we can absolutely improve, and we can do so dramatically. We have the technology and the tools necessary. They're well beyond the proof of concept. We just need to accelerate their adoption and change our priorities to focus on occupant health. Traditionally, controlling the key factors, ventilation, filtration, humidity, has been reserved for those critical environments I spoke of. As an example, in 2007, we began working with the University of California, Irvine, and assisted them in developing the concept of smart labs. We actually did this in parallel with the University of Pennsylvania and a few other thought leaders like Eli Lilly. The goal at that time was to install an air monitoring platform that provides the right amount of clean air where and when it was needed. And to give you the magnitude, labs typically require 6 to 10 times the amount of air change rates than a normal commercial office building uses. The breakthrough concept is to add intelligent air quality monitoring in each space and combine that with software for an automated on-demand air management system. So the strategy provides the ability to provide more air where and when it's needed for maximum safety while making it far more energy efficient. The results were and then continue to be dramatic. University of California, Irvine was able to cut their operating costs by 60%, and they have the fewest safety incidents in the UC system. The building operators' environmental health and safety teams can also measure and verify performance continuously with a data-driven approach. This strategy was so successful, it was adopted by the Department of Energy and has since been deployed by thousands of lab facilities around the globe. A key point is that prior to COVID-19, there already was a movement to have building standards focus on human health and more pervasively implement the strategy that I'm talking about. You can research more on well buildings if you like, but that's a rich and deep topic that we won't fully get into now. So as it relates to the three primary strategies, first, control particulate levels and harmful chemicals, VOCs, with more healthy ventilated air. As I mentioned, these micro droplets can remain in poorly ventilated spaces for some time, days, even weeks. So put simply, small particles are just plain bad for your health as they enter the deepest part of your lungs, but they also are particularly dangerous when viruses are in the air and attached to them. The World Bank recently reported that atmospheric particulate matter, which is defined as having a diameter less than 2.5 microns, is a highly significant predictor of the number of confirmed COVID cases and related hospital admissions. So particulates matter. Secondly, we need to address air filtration, which is a good way to help control particulate levels. Buildings should begin immediately increasing their filtration up to a minimum efficiency reporting value, a MERV rating, of 13 or higher. This has not been a standard previously in non-critical environments. Higher MERV ratings capture these finer particles from both outside and return air delivery systems. Also very important that we up these standards. The third strategy is to control relative humidity to ideal human health ranges. I was presenting on a panel last week with Dr. Keller. She's a pediatric oncologist and an architect. That's a rare combination. She pointed out that there is a direct correlation between the human body's ability to fight viruses and humidity levels. There absolutely exists an optimal range, specifically between 40% and 60% relative humidity that maximizes our ability to fight viruses and simultaneously negatively impacts the ability of the virus to be effective. So if you were a mouse in an expensive experiment and embalmed a mummy in a national archive or getting your hip replaced in an operating room, you would indeed have clean and healthy air. And since these strategies have been utilized in labs and hospitals effectively for decades and more recently are being adopted both new construction retrofit by thought leading owner occupiers, typically the large tech and banking employers, it's now the time to more broadly deploy these for all of our well-being and make it a strategic imperative. I do believe this will and can make a dramatic difference in our ability not just to return to normal, but to return to a better than previous normal. And that's one that's focused on human health, wellness, and a sustainable future. So thanks a lot for having me on.